Begin the current daf, Masechtas Megillah daf hey. Begin on the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, from the opening halacha of our Mishnah, of our Masechta, which we spoke about the different times that Megillah could be recited. There's Bizmana, in the time which for regular cities are the 14th, and Mekapas Chema on the 15th, and then there's earlier times, depending on the circumstances, all the way from the 11th of Adar. So that Amar Ravi says, Megillah Bizmana, when the Megillah is recited in its appropriate time on the 14th of Adar. So since then, there's an obligation of every single individual to recite the Megillah. So then, then an individual himself could recite the Megillah, because everyone, every Jewish person is reciting Megillah that day. So by reciting one's own Megillah, it's still a piercingness, it's a publicizing of the miracle, because everybody is doing it. So even though every individual is doing it himself, but everyone's doing it together. So then you can recite it even as an individual. But shaloi bezmana, but if a person is reciting Megillah not in this appropriate time of the 14th of Adar, for example, like say we said, the villages, who they do it an earlier day on the marketplace day, so then says Rav, then it could only be recited be'asar, with a what's called a minion of people, 10 people, because you need to have persuminisa publicizing the miracle. One person himself reciting the miracle is not a publicizing it. Every individual doing himself on bezmana is a persuminis. Now Rav Asi, I mean, he says that actually, Bein Bizman, the Bein Shalei Bizman, he says, no, whether it is the 14th of Adar or it's not the 14th of Adar, there is a mitzvah to go ahead and try to perform it, Ba'asar, with a minion of people, with 10 people, because of Pir Samanes to publicize the miracle. Now, as Rashi points out, however, he does hold, if you don't find 10 people, Rav Asi didn't say that one shouldn't recite it then. There's no prohibition of reciting it as an individual, but he says it's still a mitzvah, it's still better to go ahead and recite it with 10 people. And the Gemara actually brings that Havu'uvdu, there was an incident, B'choshli Rav l'hod Rav Asi, although Rav disputed Rav Asi, Rav was concerned for this teaching of Rav Asi, and even though it was Bizmana, he went after 10 people to gather them to have a minion of people on Purim itself to lay in the Megillah. Now the Gemara asks on the other half of Rav's teaching, Miyom Rav Hachi, did Rav really say this, that when it's Shalei Bizmana, when it's not the 14th of Adar, then you need to have a minion of people? But V'am Rav Yehuda B'rei Dev Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmei De Rav, that following teaching was said in the name of Rav. Purim Shechalis B'Shabbos, if Purim falls out on Shabbos, so on that halacha it says, Erev Shabbos Man. The time is Erev Shabbos. Now, the wording of this teaching of Rav first is difficult. As the Gemara asks, Erev Shabbos Manim is the time of when you're supposed to read the Megillah Erev Shabbos? That wording sounds like that the time was established from the days of the men of the Great Assembly at the time of the miracle of Purim, that the time is on the 13th of Adar, on Erev Shabbos. Because it doesn't say Magdimin L'Erev Shabbos. It doesn't say, oh, we go before okay, you can't do it in Shabbos, so we do it Erev Shabbos. No, it says, the Zman is Erev Shabbos. And therefore, the Gemara asks, what do you mean? But for Shabbos Manhu? No, to the contrary, the time is on Shabbos, because it's the 14th of Adar, which that was established for unwalled cities. Allah rather says the Gemara to ask its question on Rav, isn't this Hachikam? Isn't this what the teaching of Rav is coming to say? Why does it say this terminology of the Zman is Erev Shabbos? To tell you that since the sages instituted, which they came after the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, and they said, like we said in the previous daf, because of the concern of, like Rav had explained, that, oh, you cannot recite the Megillah on Shabbos. So therefore, it comes out that the day which was established now on Erev Shabbos is like the day which was originally established, which is to be on the 14th of Adar. Even though that it's Shalei Bizmanim, that it's not its appropriate time, still, what does it mean Erev Shabbos is Manim? It's Kizmanim, it's like the time of 14th Adar itself. Which is, what does that mean? What are we comparing when the Shalei Bizmanim Kizmanim, that was saying that Erev Shabbos is Manim? Isn't it coming to tell you, Mazman Mafil B'Yachar, just like Rav holds, that when it's on the 14th of Adar itself in its appropriate time, then you can write aside it as an individual. Av Shaloi Bizman Mafil B'Yachar, isn't he coming to say that even when it's not in its time, it is Zmanoi? What do you mean Zmanoi? It's like Zmanoi, which is that you can recite it even as an individual. That contradicts the teaching of Rav, which just said before, that he says that no, when the Shaloi Bizmanoi, then you cannot recite it as an individual and you need to have a minyan people. Says Gemara Loi, no, it's not a difficulty. Le'in Mikra Megillah, the truth is like the first teaching of Rav. Regarding reciting the Megillah when it's not the Zman, let's say when it falls on Shabbos and instead you have to recite on Friday, that has to be Basar, that has to be with 10 people. Elamai Erev Shabbos Mamzen, what does he mean when he says that the time is Erev Shabbos, which is said it's not the time, it's the later rabbinic institution that it's the time, but then you're saying that when the Shalei Bizman is Kizmanai, no, it's not coming to say that you could do B'yachid. Rather, Lafukim and the Rebbe, that wording was specifically, why didn't he just say Magdim and L'Erev Shabbos? Because he wanted to exclude from Rebbe. The Amma that he said, Hoyl Benit Chayor Esmim Kamin, and we quoted this teaching of Rebbe in the previous staff. He says, look, the cities are not doing it in their time anyway, because you can't do it on Shabbos. So Yidchuli Yemekinesis, so then says Rebbe, you do it on the more appropriate time, more convenient time, which is on the marketplace day, not on Friday, but rather on Thursday. Hakamashmon, that's why the wording of Rav was saying, no, the Erev Shabbos manmu, it's time as an Erev Shabbos. Not to say, oh, it's time, it's like the time, even though it's Shalei Bezmane. No, it's coming to say, what is the time? The time is Friday, not on Thursday, to exclude from Rebbe, but therefore there's no inference to contradict his previous teaching. No, he holds Bezmane b'yachad, but Shalei Bezmane, it needs a minyan of people. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, which we discussed, that a city is where we recited on the 14th of Adar. But kfar and villages, they could do it on an earlier daily Yemeknisa. So says the Mishnah, Ezohi Ergadel, what's considered a large city that they recite the Megillah on the 14th of Adar, they don't do it earlier to the day of the Knesia of when the marketplace is. Says the Mishnah, Kol Shiesh Basar Batlan. As long as there's 10 idle people that are doing no work, that's considered a large city that recited on the 14th of Adar. But Pachis Mekan, if there's less than that, if you don't have 10 idle people sitting around, Harei Zekar, then it's a village, and again, then it's going to have the halacha that you could be Magdim Liyim Aknisa. Now, continues the Mishnah, regarding a teaching we said in the previous Mishnah, Be'elu, it's regarding these dates of reciting the Megillah, that's what Amr Magdimin. They said, one of the cases we discussed in previous Mishnah, which is if the 14th of, and which we were just discussing before, if the 14th of Adar falls on Shabbos, so you don't recite the Megillah on Shabbos, like we said, because of the concern of Rabbah, of one might carry four Amos and Meshach Rabbah. So then we said, okay, so then you do it before. As we said, we said that it's going to be either Erev Shabbos or the previous Thursday. And V'loy Ma'achrin. So you're going to do it earlier, but you're not going to push it off, do it after Shabbos on Sunday. Avol, but regarding Zman Atzi Kahanim, and the Gir says Va'am, but regarding the time when the Kahanim or the people bring karbanis of wood, which the Gemara says in Tainus Daf Chasam and Aleph, there were certain families in the Jewish people that they had an established time, one day during the year, that they would bring the firewood for the Beis HaMikdash for the purpose of the Maracha of the pyre, and they would bring karbanis with those wood they would bring. So that's what the Mishnah is telling us. If let's say their date of the year falls in on Shabbos, so then there, you don't do it earlier, there you delay it to the following day. So to Tisha B'Av, the fast of the 9th of Av, if it falls out to be on Shabbos, so then it's going to be pushed off and not done earlier, which as Rashi points out, really the same would be all the other fasts of Shabbos B'Tamas, Nesar B'Tavis. Why we pick specifically Tisha B'Av is because, A, that's a day which was doubled with Tzaris, as a Mishnah elsewhere says, that there's many travails that happen on Tisha B'Av, and therefore actually everyone fasts on Tisha B'Av. But regarding all the other fasts, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah Yud Ches Mabez that actually if someone wants to fast, he could, if not, which the custom now is already everyone fast, but in the primary halacha, that's different and not as stringent, therefore our Mishnah picked Tisha B'Av, but it's regarding every fast. And so to Chagiga, if let's say Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos, there's halacha that every Yom Tov someone has to bring an Oilas Ru'iyah, a carbon Oilah, which are called the Oilas Ru'iyah, which is appearing before Hashem, and the Shamech HaGigah, the Karmech HaGigah has to bring. So the halacha is that the Shamech HaGigah, the special Shlamim of the Yom Tov, is pushed off till the next day, because one could do Tashlum and sub and complete the Karmen Shlamim for the entire 7 days after the first day of Yom Tov. So therefore, here it's also pushed off, because you can't bring it on Shabbos. One's not allowed to do Malacha, bring Karbanos, only those which are specifically like a Karben Tumen and so on. And so to the Hakil, which is the mitzvah of what's called Hakil Zam, one has to gather the people, which was in the first year of a Shemitah cycle, which was the after the first days of the Yom Tov of Sukkot, after a Shemitah year, as the Pasuk says, Mekei Shebashon, after the 7 years of the Shemitah cycle, B'moyed, in the Yom Tov of Sukkot, Shnash HaShemitah, of the first year of the Shemitah, as the Pasuk says in the Baram Laman Alf, as the Gemara says, M'sech Deseitah, M'malav, Oman Alef, that the king would recite from the Torah, the whole Sefer Mishnah Torah, that is the Sefer Devarim, and all the people had to come, and they had to bring their children, like it says, Hakel HaZam, Anoshim, Anoshim Ataf, everyone will come. Now, it's not possible to do this mitzvah on Shabbos, because, and therefore it had to be delayed to the following day. Now, why couldn't it be done on Shabbos? So the Yerushalmi explains, why can't it be done on Shabbos? Because there was a bima, which was a platform. As the Mishnah teaches, that there was a platform of wood that they would make for the king in the Azar, and he would sit on it, which the Gemara says, okay, so you can't build it on Shabbos, but build it before and then have the hakel on Shabbos. And then the Gemara there says that, no, there wouldn't be too much room in the Azara, so you couldn't make it beforehand, and you can't make it on Shabbos. Therefore, all these things that we're discussing over here, unlike that of Kriyas Megillah, are ma'achrin v'loy makdimin. As the Gemara doesn't explain the reason for all these halachas, you delay them, and you don't do it earlier. Now, another clarification, says the Mishnah, although by the mitzvah Megillah we said that we do it earlier and we don't delay it, But although generally on Purim, certain things have requirements, so although we were reciting Megillah earlier, but Matar and Behesped, although you're reciting Megillah that day, but it's permitted to eulogize, Ubatainis, and to fast, although that's generally forbidden on Purim, Umatanis Labyanim, as we said in the previous daf, that also the Matanis Labyanim, the gifts to the poor, are done on the day of Mikra Megillah, although the primary day of Purim is on the 14th of Adar. Now, another clarification, Amar Bihudi says, Emosai, when did we say the Allah of the previous mission that we're Magdimin, L'yayim HaKnisa, for the B'nai Kfarim, for the villages, all the way from the 11th, 12th, 13th of Adar, is Makam Shenechnasim, B'Shein V'Chamisha, is only a place where they do gather anyways in the towns, and we don't require them to schlep specially, they go on Mondays and Thursdays. That's the marketplace day. But if it's a place where the villagers don't go to the towns on Mondays and Thursdays, then they only recite it on the day, and they have to come in special anyway, then they come in specially on the 14th of Adar, not on a Monday or a Thursday. Now, the Gemara explains, in the Braisa, regarding the opening halacha of Mishnah, what's considered a large city that is not a village, if it has asar batlanim, 10 idle people, explains the Braisa, Tana, asar batlanim, shebe beis haknesses. It means 10 idle people that are in the shul, that they're not working and they get fed from the public, so that they always could be found in the shul for davening, as the Gemara says in Brochas Avav and Mabez, because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes in the shul and he doesn't find 10 people, he gets angry. What is this? I'm coming and no one's here to greet me. So therefore, that's considered a large city, that there is always going to be a minion there in the shul, these 10 idle people. Now, the Mishnah said, Be'elu Amru, regarding this, of the mitzvah Megillah, if the 14th falls on a Shabbos, that's where we said Magdim Avlem Achron, that we do it earlier, not later. Says Gemara, my time, why is this that by Megillah you do it earlier, not later? So Amar Baba, Amar Shmuel says, because Amar Krah, the Pasuk says Megillah Sester, Belo Yavur, and it talks about the days of when we say the Megillah and celebrate Purim, it says, and not, this shouldn't pass it. So it can't be later than the days that it's mentioned. But it could be done earlier, as we had said in the beginning of the Masechta. Another teaching from Amar Reb Abba, Amar Shmuel. Says, Minayin she'ein mo'inin yomim l'shanim. How do we know that we don't count days for years? What that means is, for example, let's say someone says, I take a vow, I'm not going to partake of wine for this whole year. So what he does is he counts 12 months from day to day. So let's say he took the vow on the 1st of Nisan. So he's forbidden until the next year of the 1st of Nisan. Now, although that there's still 11 days in a solar year that's more than a lunar year, so it's not essentially a full year, or sometimes we make our months deficient, 29-day months instead of 30-day months, so it's not a full year, but still, we don't count the days that are missing. We count by the year. How do we know that? Shema, like it says, the Pasuk in Shemais says that when Hashem tells to Moshe Rabbeinu, this month is the beginning of the months, referring to the month of Nisan. It's the first for you, L'chadshei Hashanah, for the months of the year. What you see from that is for the months of the year is chadashim atamayin l'shanim. You only count months when it comes to a year, v'atamayin yom l'shanim, but you don't count the days for the year. So when someone takes a vow for a year, you're going to count the months and not the days, although there's some extra days that are not fulfilled over here. We don't count the days, we count only the months, and since you're back to the first of Nisan, so that will be a fulfillment of the year. Similarly, v'rabbanan d'kisari, the rabbanan from Caesarea, Mishum Rababa, under the same name of Rababa, how do we know that we don't calculate hours for months? So for example, let's say someone says, tells his wife, this is your get, your divorce document, if I don't come here until this month. Now, it was a deficient month, which means to say, instead of being a 30-day month, it was a 29-day month. And he came the night after the 29th day. We don't say, wait, technically it's still within the month, because a lunar month is 29 and a half days. So he still has that half a day that he's in. No, we don't calculate the half a day. We count days for the year. We already did the 29 days. We don't count the hours for the months. Shemek says, the Pasuk in Bamidbar says, it's talking about a certain incident that the Torah is talking about, but it says, Ad chodesh yom, until a month of days, which tells you, yom atam achashav l'chadoshim, you only count days for the month, but v'yatam achashav shos l'chadoshim, you don't calculate the hours for the month. So although there's still more, 12 more hours, let's say, for the month, but you already did the days, that's it. And he already missed the time of coming back for his get, because we don't count hours for the month, only days for the month. Now, that we said is regarding Megillah, that you do it earlier, not later. Avobit said the Mishnah, Zman Yatzar Kahanim, the time when the Kahanim or people bring the woods and karbanos with them on certain dates in the year. And the Tisha B'Av and the 9th of Av, which is the fast because of the destruction of Beis Hamikdash and other things, the Chagiga and bringing the Karban Chagiga, if it falls out on Shabbos, which is the day of Yom Tov, or V'Hakol, or this celebration when all the people come here, the king read Hol Sefer Devarim, Ma'achim L'Mekdimen, that is delayed and not done earlier. So the Gemara explains, Tisha B'Av, the reason why that's delayed is because Agdumi Paranus L'Mekadmi, we don't do punishments, which is commemorating that of the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, that we don't do earlier. As much as possible, we push it off. So it's delayed, not done earlier. Now, so to Chagiga, bringing the Karma Chagiga, Vahakel, and all the Jewish people on the day after the first days of Sukkot, when they gather, the reason why they push it off is Meshum Dakati Lemotiz Man Chiyuvayu, is because the time of its obligation has not yet come. If you can do it earlier, we haven't fulfilled your obligation. So, but when it comes, the obligation started, then, okay, you could do it at least a day later. And so to Rashi says, is the Atzei Kahanim, which also they had a certain set date with their vow that they're going to bring it every year on this date. If it didn't reach the date yet, you can't fulfill the obligation. Once it started, you have an obligation, then you could do it the next day versus doing it the day before. Now, says the Gemara, quotes a Braisa. Tana, we learned in the Braisa, Chagiga, which is referring to the Karban Chagiga, V'cholzman Chagiga, it's cryptic what this means, and all the time of the Chagiga, Ma'achrin is delayed. So the Gemara wants to explain, what does this Braisa mean? So Bishlem Chagiga, we understand when it says that regarding the Chagiga that we delay it. So that's this halacha that we're talking about in the Mishnah. The Mikla B'Shabbata, if the Yom Tov, the first day Yom Tov falls on Shabbos, when, okay, the first day when you come to the Beis HaMikdash, you have the obligation to bring Karban Chagiga. So saying, okay, Ma'achrinan Lola Basa Shabbata, you can't bring your Karban Chagiga, which is not an obligation right now for this day, like a Karban Tumen and a Karban Musaf, so we say you delay it for after Shabbos, because like we said, you could bring it for the whole 7 days after that. El Azman Chagiga Mahi, but says the Gemara, what is the Brice of Moon that says, and the whole time of Chagiga that you delay, what is that referring to? So the Gemara has a few interpretations. Amar Bereishis, he says, Hachim, this is what the Braisa is saying. Chagiga, which is the Karma Chagiga, that if it falls out, like we said, B'Shabbos, then we delay it. Now, that's regarding the Shami Chagiga. Then continues the Braisa, V'Oilas Re'iyah, and the Karban Oila, which one is a Shlamim Shami Chagiga, one is a Karban Oila of Re'iyah, when one appears in front of Hashem, also an obligation together when you come on the Shalash Regalim. That's what the Braisa is saying, that Afila B'Yamtiv, even on Yamtiv, not Shabbos, if coming the first day of Yom Tov, Dizman Chagiga, which that is a time when it's permitted to bring the Shami Chagiga, because not Shabbos, you could bring your Shlomim on Yom Tov. Even so, says the Braisa Ma'achrin, you're going to delay the Oilas Re'iyah. The Karban Oila you're not going to bring on the first day of Yom Tov, until the intermediate days. And that's how you understand the Braisa. Chagiga, you delay if it falls on Shabbos. Then there's something else also when it reaches the time, you're going to delay it one day, even though it's the time of bringing the Karban Chagiga. What is it? That's the Oilas Re'iyah, which is also an obligation to bring in every single Yom Tov, like the Pasas and Shmai Chab Gimel, Lo Yireh Panei Rekim. You're not supposed to see my face empty, which the Gemara says in Chagiga Dav Zayin Aleph. What does it mean, Lo Yireh Panei Rekim? It refers to Oilas and Zvachim, the Shama Chagiga and the Oilas Re'iyah. Even so, says the Braisa, a Yom Tov, you don't bring that carbon. Which the Gemara says, Mani, who's this Braisa thing going like? It's Beishamahi, who they say you don't sacrifice on Yom Tov a carbon Oilah that could be brought the next day, even if it's an obligation to be for the Yom Tov. Did not like learn the Mishnah Masechtas Bei, which is Machlekes. Beshamayim, they say Mevin Shlamim beYamtiv. Yes, you could bring a carbon Shlamim, a supplementary carbon on Yamtiv, which the reason for that is because that a person eats from that carbon on Yamtiv. The owners get to eat most of the carbon. Like it, and the Pasuk says in Shmosid Beis, Achashay Ochel Chol Nefesh, one's allowed to do malacha if it's going to be something that he's going to be eating from on the Yamtiv. But Vein Semchinali. But say Bishamai, but you can't do the obligatory leaning on the animal before it's slaughtered, because smicha leaning on is a shvus, a rabbinic prohibition, as the Mishnah says in Beit Av Lamed Vav Mebeis, there are certain rabbinic prohibitions related to animals, one of them is not leaning, not riding on the animal, which includes also leaning on the animal. Now, however, but we're going to sacrifice it on Yom Tov because it's has Oichel Nefesh, but rather what you do is you do, according to Bishami, you do smicha the day before Yom Tov. And the reason that is because Bishami don't hold of takeoff of smicha shechita. They don't hold it. You have to do smicha right before it's slaughtered. So yeah, you could slaughter it and you could sacrifice it on Yom Tov, but you can't do smicha. Rather, you do it on Erev Yom Tov. Now, this is all regarding the Shlamim, Shami Chagiga. But say Bishami Avaloi Oilis. But the Karban Oilis, no, you can't bring, because they hold when it says on Yom Tov, that's when it talks about Eichel Nefesh, where it says, Achashi Ochel Chol Nefesh, it says that you do Lochem for you, which means for you, but not for something for Hashem. A Karban Oilis is totally burned on the Mizbeach. That you can't do Melocha for. It's only something that will have Eichel Nefesh for you. And that's who the Braisa is going, like Bishamai, which this first interpretation is saying, that when it's talking about Kolzman Chagiga, meaning the whole time when the Chagiga could be brought, but regarding Oilas Re'iyah, that it cannot be brought, that has to be Ma'achr. Now, Beis Hillel, as we quote from this Mishnah in Be'ah, they disagree, they say, no, Mevin Shlamim Ve'Oilas. Actually, you could bring a Shlamim and a Oilas, and what do you fulfill, Lochem? That the permissibility of doing Malacha on Yom Tov is only something for yourself. They learn Lochem is not excluding Hashem. Yeah, you could bring a Oilas, it's excluding if it's done from a non-Jew. So the Beis Hillel hold, you could bring Shlamim and Oilas, and Besemchen Aleim, and you could also do Smicha. They hold that it's not a problem to do it on the Yom Tov. regarding that one of the first machlekes that ever was regarding smicha, and Bishil held that that's permitted to be done. But again, that's the first interpretation in what this brisa means. Rav Ami gives a different interpretation. He says actually it's one halacha. Chagiga, the carbon chagiga, the halacha is kol zman chagiga, the entire time of the chagiga of the celebration, meaning the whole Yom Tov until the last day of Yom Tov, the halacha is ma'achron, you're allowed to delay it even to the last day. But the inference is tfeilai, but not more than that. That not, the Gelun Mishnah said it's chagiga. Says mishle chag b'Yom Tov rishon shachak, whoever did not bring his karma chagiga on the first day of the Yom Tov, chagig v'hoylech es kol regel kula, he could bring his karma chagiga the whole Yom Tov. Now, which that means to say, b'Yom Tov v'achad shachak, and that's even until the last day of Yom Tov. But ava haregel b'lo chag, but if he went by the last day of Yom Tov and they didn't bring his karma chagiga, then inecha b'achayusi is not responsible for it anymore. He can't bring it anymore as the obligatory shama chagiga after Yom Tov. So it's one halacha, it's chagiga, it's kol zman chagiga ma'achad. Not two halachas, but one halacha. Similarly, Rav Ashi, he also says that it's one halacha, but he says as follows. He says, chagiga, v'chol zman chagiga. What does he mean over here? It means, regarding anything that it says, that there's an obligation of bringing chagiga, that there, anytime there's a time of chagiga, the halacha is going to be ma'achar, and you're going to delay it if it falls out the day of Yom Tov on Shabbos. What's that chiddush? V'afila atzeres. Even the Yom Tov of Shurus, which is only the Chad Yom, even though it's only a one-day Yom Tov, it's not like you would think Pesach and Sukkot that you could push it off for 7 days because you have the 7 days of Yom Tov. No, even Shurus, that's only one day, the halacha is ma'achar, and you could delay it. In other words, there also you have a tashlumi that you could complete it for all 7 days after Yom Tov, and there's still time to bring it, and therefore you're going to push it off. Kol zman dezeh chagiga, even the Yom Tov of Shurus. That's not like learn the Mishnah, Masechta Chagiga, Daf Yud Zayin, Amud Aleph, that actually brings a machlekes regarding if Shurus falls out to be on Erev Shabbos, on Friday. So Bishami say, what's called the Yom Tevayach, when's the day that you're going to sacrifice the carbon of Shavuos? You're going to do it after Shabbos, on Sunday. Now the reason for that is Bishami going according to their opinion that we just quoted before, that they hold that you don't sacrifice a carbon oila on Yom Tov. So therefore you can't bring it on Yom Tov. Obviously you can't bring it on Shabbos. So therefore you bring it on Sunday. They still disagree. They say, no, it doesn't have a Yom Tevayach, a special day you have to sacrifice. And they hold, they don't have to delay it, because they hold, as we just quoted before, that Shlamim and Oilis could be sacrificed on Yom Tov. So regarding that, they have a Machlikas. But that says the Mishnah over there, Maidim, but they both agree, Shem Chalat Tzeres Lias B'Shabbos, that if Shavuos falls out, not on Erev Shabbos, but on Shabbos, where then, according to everyone, you can't bring Shamech HaGiga or Oilis Riyah on Shabbos. So then you have to delay what's called the Yom Tevayach, the day of the sacrificing of the Karbanos of the day, that Shayim Tevayach, the day of the slaughtering, is going to be Achar Shabbos, going to be after Shabbos on Sunday. But one thing you see, that there is a Teshlum, and even though it's not going to be Yom Tov anymore of Shavuos, you have 7 days to complete that mitzvah. That's the third interpretation of what this Brayis is talking about, that Chagiga, v'chol zman chagiga, when you have to bring a Karma Chagiga, and any time you have to bring a Karma Chagiga, even Shavuos, ma'achron, you can delay it, even though it's not Yom Tov anymore, you still have the 7 days of Teshlum. Nothing but contains a related discussion with the halacha of our Mishnah, which one of the items we mentioned, unlike Kriyas Megillah, that were ma'achron, v'le mekadmin, refers to Tisha B'Av. So on that, the Gemara brings the following halacha. Amar B'Laza, Amar B'Chanina. He says the following three halachas. He says, Rebbe noten netiyah b'Purim. First of all, Rebbe planted a sapling, a tree on Purim. And we continue to him at Bayez. Another thing that he did was, V'rochatz b'kreni shel tzipari. He bathed himself. Kreni really means the wagons in tzipari, but it means, say, on the marketplace day, out in the public, in front of all the people that were there for the marketplace, meaning, which is a time when all the wagons are coming, he went and he bathed himself, even though it was b'shiva asa b'tamas, on the 17th of Tamas, and all these halachas obviously have chidushim. And the third thing is, ubikish lakar Tisha B'Av. He wanted to uproot Tisha B'Av, which Tais has a problem with that. How could, because we're going to interpret exactly what does it mean, but the first understanding of Rebbe Lazar was that he wanted to uproot Tisha B'Av. How is that possible? So Tais says, no, either that, regarding the stringencies that Tisha B'Av has over other fasts, that he wanted to uproot, or no, what he wanted to do is, yeah, uproot it from the 9th of Av, rather to be on the 10th of Av, as the Gemara says elsewhere, from Rabbi Yechanan, that he says, had I been there, I would have instituted that the fast should be on the 10th of Av, not the 9th, because the primary burning of the Beis HaMikdash was on the 10th, it only started on the 9th of Av. But be that as it may, v'lo haydoloi, but regarding this last thing, they didn't agree to him that, regarding Tisha B'Av, that it should be uprooted. Now, Am Lefanov, so Abba Bar Zavda said in front of Rebbe Lazar, who he was the one who was saying over these three halachas that Rebbe had done. So he said to him, regarding the last thing, he says, Rebbe, my teacher, loy kachoye ma'isa, wasn't the story that, no, Rebbe didn't want to uproot totally the Mayid of Tisha B'Av. Rather, it was only because of what was that year. Ela Tisha B'av Shechalis B'Shabbos. What happened was, it was Tisha B'av that fell out on Shabbos, which is exactly the halacha of our Mishnah. V'dechinuhu la'achar Shabbos. So as we said in the Mishnah, you don't celebrate Tisha B'av on Shabbos, rather it gets pushed off to Sunday. On that V'am Rebbe, he says, okay, once it got rejected from the day of the ninth hour, let it be totally rejected. Let's not celebrate Tisha B'av this year. Again, because of its paranias, he wanted it to be done. On that, the sage didn't agree to him. No, although we're not doing the ninth of Av, it's going to be a nitche, but it's going to be done on Sunday on the 10th of Av. So that, Kariyalei, so Rabbi Lazar recited on Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda, who he corrected him, a pasuk in Kalis. He says, Toiv mashnaim and echad, two is better than one. In other words, had I not heard from you, I would have made a mistake. I would have thought that, yeah, actually, Rebbe, his opinion was to totally reject Tisha B'Av, or like Tisha amended, rather not to be in the ninth and always be the tenth, or not to have the certain stringencies. But now that I heard from you the truth, so then I was able to amend the teaching, and it was only regarding Tisha B'Av Shchalis B'Shabbos that he was saying that it should be nitcha. Now, regarding the first two halachas, the Gemara discusses, so regarding actually the one of bathing on Tisha B'Av, so that Tisha explains that, although even regarding eating, there are those who didn't, but the custom is already that no one eats on all the fast, but the chiddush was, however, that the bathing wasn't a problem on Shabbos and Batamas. But regarding the first halacha, V'Rebbe Hecha Nata Natei B'Purim, had Rebbe plant a tree on Purim, V'Tanu Rabbi Yisrael, but Rebbe taught the following braisa. It says in the Megillas Esther that regarding Purim, it has to be Simcha, rejoicing, Umishta, a festival, and V'Yomtev, and a holiday. What does this mean? So Simcha, rejoicing, in Melamed Shasur and Behesper. This teaches that it's forbidden to eulogize, which is mourning. No, it has to be happy. Mishta, a feast, is Melamed Shasur B'Tainis. Not a lot of fast. It has to be a feast. And V'yomtev, what does it mean that it's a holiday? It's Melamed Shasur B'Sis Malacha. It's forbidden to do Malacha. Now, therefore, that means to say one cannot plant a tree, which is a Malacha. How did Rebbe plant a tree on Purim? So Ella rather says the Gemara, no, Rebbe Bara Beisahava. Rebbe was not from the cities that are surrounded with the wall. He was from an open city, which they recite the Megillah, and they celebrate Purim on the 14th of Adar. Chinata, when did he plant on Purim? Was B'chamesu Nata, he planted on the 15th of Adar. So for him, that wasn't Purim. So therefore, he was allowed to plant. And that's the Gemara. Is that really so, like we just said? But V'Rebbe B'Tveri Havi, Rebbe lived in Tveria, B'Tveri Mukav, Eschayim, M'mis, Yeshua B'Nun Havi. Tveri was surrounded with the wall from the days of Yeshua B'Nun, as the Gemara is going to later on explain, and therefore, to the contrary, he's not from the Ayaris. He's actually from the Mukafin. So how could you say he planted on the 15th? Sela rather says, Gemara, you're right. No, you're right. Rebbe Bar Chamesah, the Rebbe was from the places where they celebrate Purim on the 15th of Adar. The Chinata, when did he plant the tree? Bar Beisahab was in the 14th of Adar, which for him wasn't Purim, and therefore he was allowed to plant the tree. Now this, the Gemara asks, regarding what we mentioned before, was it so obvious that to Rebbe, that Tveri was surrounded with a wall on the 15th of Adar, and therefore since he lived over there, for him Purim was only on the 15th of Adar, not the 14th, and therefore he was able to plant the tree on the 14th? But V'chizkia, Kari B'Tveri, but V'chizkia, he would go ahead and recite the Megillah in Tveri, which is where he was, Barbeso B'chamesa, on the 14th and the 15th of Adar. Why? Misafkale Chizkia, who was generations before, he was in doubt. He was in doubt. He didn't know, was it surrounded with a wall from Dez Yeshua Benun or not? So because of that doubt, he went and he read the Megillah on both. So how could Rebbe plant on the 14th because he knew it was on the 15th? How did he know this? Says the Gemara, yeah, L'chizki Mesafka, L'chizki was in doubt, but the Rebbe, Pshitle, according to Rebbe, it was obvious to him, he knew that it was like a Mukafas Chaimah from the Dez Yeshua Benun. But still the Gemara asks, and even if it's obvious to Rebbe who he was from those who celebrate Purim on the 15th of Adar, Mishari, is it then permitted to go ahead and do Malach on the 14th of Adar? But V'ksib Megillas Tainz, it says in the scroll of regarding fasting, which was a certain rabbinic writings that were there even before the redaction of the Mishnayis, that talked about the days that it's forbidden to fast and to eulogize. So there it says, Esyem Arba Asa V'Esyem Chemisha Asa, regarding the 14th of Adar and the 15th of Adar, it says, Yoimei Parayi, you know, these are the days of Purim, D'Loi L'mes B'Hoin, that one's not allowed to eulogize on them. Now, V'Amar Rav, he explained this price, it says, Loi Nitzuch, it wasn't necessary regarding this writing of the Megillas Tainas to say that it's forbidden, because it's already written Megillas Esther that you're not allowed to eulogize and to fast. As we just said before from the words of the Pasuk. So what's the Megillas Tainas come to teach us? Elalesser eshel zeh bezeh v'eshel zeh bezeh. Rather, it's coming to say that those whose Purim is on the 14th are not allowed to even be masped on the 15th. And those who are on the 15th are not allowed on the 14th. So you see, both days are forbidden. So even if he's from Tveri and he knew for sure that's Mukav Eschem and he's celebrating the 15th, how does that permit him to do Malach on the 14th? Says the Gemara, yeah, because Hani Mila Behesper to Tainis. What's the Bryce in Megillas Tainis telling us? That it applies for both days. That's for eulogizing and for fasting. Ab Malacha, regarding do Malacha, Yei Mechid Besulai. That's only the day where you celebrate and not more. And since if for him was the 15th, he was allowed to plant on the 14th. And that says the Gemara, Ini, is that really so? But Varav, Chazi Lehu Gav, Rav, the Amir Rav, saw a certain person, that he planted flax on Purim, Velati, and he cursed him, Velay Tamach Kisne, and his flax didn't sprout. So you see that one's not allowed to do Malacha on who, no matter what type of person you are, on the days of Purim. So it's like, well, no, Hasan Bar Yemeha, but that was that person, it was in his city, they lay in the Megillah that day. So it was his day, and therefore it was forbidden to plant and do Malacha on that day. But one that's not your day, like Rabbi did, is permitted to go ahead and plant. It's only Hespin and Tainis that's forbidden them both. That's one interpretation. Rabba Bered the Rav Amar, he says, no, Afilatem, you could even say this, that Rabbi planted a tree, was B'yayme, on the day where his inhabitants of his city, let's say Tveri on the 15th, it was on that day that he planted a tree. But then the question is, but we said it's called the Yomtiv, that's forbidden to do Malacha. Says the Gemara, no. Hesped v'tainis kabilu alayu. Only regarding eulogizing and fasting, they accepted upon themselves to celebrate that as Purim. But malacha l'kabilu alayu. But ultimately, they did not accept that it's forbidden to do malacha on Purim, as the Gemara explains. The Mikar Ksiv, initially the Pasuk writes, simcha mishta b'yamtim. Like we mentioned before, it says rejoicing, festivity, and a holiday. But that was before the acceptance. That was, yeah, prohibiting even malacha. But subsequently, ul b'saif, at the end, when it talks about what they accepted, Siv, what does it say? Lasus isim yimei mishta v'simcha, to make them days of rejoicing and festivity. Ve'ilu yamtiv, like Siv, the pasuk doesn't say about making it a holiday, because they didn't accept upon themselves anything more than simcha and mishta, to be prohibited in eulogizing and fasting. But regarding yamtiv and malacha, they didn't accept upon themselves, and therefore it was permitted for Rebbe to plant a tree on Purim. But then says Gemara Vela, but if that's the case, Rav, my tamer lati lehu gavah, then why did Rav curse that person who was planting on Purim? I thought it's permitted to do malacha of planting. Says Gemara, you're right, but Dvarm Hamutarm, it was something that's permitted, but Vacherim Nogu Ben Israhava, but it's something that others, meaning the inhabitants of that town, treated it as it's forbidden. And that's forbidden to do, even though it's essentially permitted, but if the custom is not to do, like in that person's town, you're not allowed to, and therefore you cursed him. But Ba'asid the Rebbe, Leinog, in the place of Rebbe, they didn't have a custom to make it prohibited. And since the primary halacha is permitted, therefore he went and he planted a tree on Purim. Vibay Sema says Gemara, and if you want, you could say a third approach. La'ilam nog, the truth is, no, even in place of Rebbe, there was a custom not to do malacha of like planting a tree on Purim. So how did Rebbe plant a tree? The Rebbe netiyah shel simchanata, and Rebbe planted a planting of rejoicing. So since Purim is a day of rejoicing, it's permitted to do a planting of rejoicing. Someone like Chayil Mayed, if you're doing something for the yomtiv purpose, you're allowed to do malacha, but if it's non-yomtiv purpose, you're not allowed to do. So yeah, the person was cursed because they're not allowed to just plant on Purim, because, and even in the place of Rebbe, was a place where the custom was not to do it. But if you're doing something that is a simcha purpose, then you're allowed to do that on Purim. Could not, like, learn the Mishnah Masechtas Tainis, that there is such a concept of an atiyah shel simcha. The Mishnah teaches that Avru Elu, if the 13th fast that the courts instituted because there was no rain in Eretz Yisrael, b'loy nenu, and still after those 13 fasts, they weren't answered from Shemaim, there was no rain. So then they would go even this more stringent and more depressing type of a tone. So they would diminish the business dealings. And Bebinya Ubnatiya, they would decrease their building and their planting. Be'eris and Benisun of getting engaged and getting married. Now, B'tana Allah, we learn the Braisa that clarifies that halacha and says, Binyan, this that we said they would prohibit building, was specifically Binyan Shal Simcha, was building of rejoicing. Because they would treat themselves like they were scorned and mourners from Hashem. So to Niti, when it says that they would diminish the planting, was specifically Niti Yishal Simcha, was a planting of rejoicing. Which, Ezehu Bin Yishal Simcha, what's considered a building of rejoicing? Zahaboyna Beis Chasnus Lebenoi. This refers to someone who's building a house of marriage for his son. Which was when the person would marry off his first son to a wife, he would build him a house and he would make the chuppah in that house. That's not just building a house, that's a house of rejoicing. That they would diminish. And in Zehi Netiyah Shal Simcha, what's a planting of rejoicing? Zeha Netiyah Avur Neki Shem Malachim. This refers to someone who would plant an Avur Neki, which is a certain type of a tree of royalty that has good shade, and there would be a tree that they would like bend over on top of poles and on top of sticks, and the kings would eat underneath it in the summer times, and they would delight in it, all types of rejoicing. So it's regarding that those types of planting that they would diminish. But again, that's the idea that we see, that there is a Netiyah Shel Simcha, and it's regarding that that Rebbe had planted on Purim. And since it's that of Simcha, it's like in the spirit of Purim, and therefore it was permitted for him to do that. Now, Gufa, we mentioned the previous Gemara's discussion that Chizkiah Kar B'Tveria. Chizkiah, unlike Rebbe, he read the Megillah in Tveria Barbeisu B'Chameisa, on the 14th of Adar and the 15th of Adar, because Masafkala, he was in doubt, Imu Kavos Chem Yemais Yishu Benun Hi'ilai. He was in doubt, was it surrounded with a wall from the days of Yishu Benun or not? And therefore, because he didn't know, is it 14 or 15? They read on both. Says the Gemara, Mi Masafkali Milsa the Tveri, was he really in doubt regarding Tveri if it's surrounded with a wall? Because as we see, Rebbe was obvious to him that it was surrounded, and he read the Megillah on the 15th. But Baksiv, the Pasuk says in Sefer Yeshua, regarding when it talks about the ancestral land of Sheva Naphtali, it says, V'ori Mifzer, and the fortified cities, were Hatzidim, were Tzer, Hamas, Rakas, V'chinores. Now, V'kaimelon, we have a tradition that Rakas zu Tveria. And the Pasuk is calling it Ore Mifzah, the fortified cities. Obviously, it was surrounded with a wall from the days of Yeshua ben Nun. So, isn't it obvious, like Rebbe, that it should be read on the 15th and not necessarily on the 14th? So, the Gemara, no, Haina Tami, the Mesafkali, the reason why Chizkiah was in doubt was because Mishum Dechad Gisa Shur de Yamahabas. One side of Tveria was surrounded by the sea, and it didn't have a wall on that side. The sea was its wall. And he was in doubt, is that considered that it's a mukefes chema, a city that's totally surrounded by walls, or not? So then the Gemara says, yach, if that's the case, amai masafkali, to the contrary, then why was he in doubt? Vadi lav chemi, to the contrary, then for sure it's not a wall, and for sure it should only be read on the 14th and not the 15th. Because the Tanya Linda Breis, the post says of Yikar regarding a different halacha, that of Bati Erechema, which if someone sells a house in a walled city, says specific halacha is different than regularly selling a house. So when it describes the house of the walled city, it says ashaloi chayma, that which has a wall, which excludes a city that doesn't have its own wall. And therefore, what is excluded from that is v'lo yishur igur. Not if, let's say, the houses are surrounding the city, and the outer walls of the houses are like almost the walls of the city, that's called shur igur, because the word gag is translated as igur, so it's that its roofs are its walls. That's not counted. You can't have it, even though it's totally surrounded and impenetrable, but it has to be that there's special walls, not that the houses outsides are the walls. Moreover, when it says saviv, which as Rashi points out, this is not in that same pasuk. This is by bate chatzerim, by houses in unwalled cities that don't have, it says, ashe'en lem chayma saviv, that doesn't have a wall around it, totally around it. Now, the inference is that bate chayma, which is the walled cities, is surrounded all the way around it. Says the Braisa, Prat Latveria, that excludes Tveria, Sheyamachay Masa, that the sea is its wall, and since the sea is its wall on one side, it's actually not considered Bat Erechema, and doesn't have that same. It's like an open city. So it's an open city. So of course Tveria should be on the 14th, not the 15th. What was he in doubt? Says the Gemara, no, Le'inye Bat Erechema Le Masafkali. You're right. Regarding the laws of the houses as they're sold in the walled city, that he wasn't in doubt. And you're right, that's not like a walled city. But Kika Masafkali, when was he in doubt? Le'inyan Mikra Megillah, regarding the reciting of the Megillah, which the Megillah, the Torah never explicitly says that it has to have a wall. Rather, the terminology the Megillah uses is parazim, the dispersed cities, and those which are not parazim, which is what we call the walled cities. But in that he's in doubt, my parazim umay mukafim dechsivi gabi Mikra Megillah. What do we mean when it says in Megillah, the dispersed cities that are unwalled, and those which are surrounded? What does that mean? In other words, this that it says prazim, is it a terminology of exposed? Mishum dehani miglu vahani loy miglu, which is that the prazim are exposed and the mukafim are not exposed. Is that the defining differentiation between the 14th of Adar and the 15th of Adar? If that's the case, so vahanami migalia, so Tveri is also exposed because on the side where there's the sea, there's no wall over there. And therefore, yes, it should be on the 14th of Adar. Idilmor, maybe, no, it's with the element of mukafin is means to say that it's, is it a city that's easily conquerable because there's no walls, or that it's not? Mishum nahani mignu vahani loy mignu, because these are protected and these are not protected. If that's the case, vahanami meganya, so Tveri is also protected because on all three sides there's a wall. On the fourth side, the sea is there, and therefore it's hard, you can't fight warfare from the sea. And therefore, says the Gemara, within, then it would be on the 15th of Adar. Meshemachim Misafkali, therefore he was in doubt. And therefore he read on both the 14th and the 15th. Now similarly, the Gemara says that Ravasi, Kar Megillah Behutzel Barbeisa Bechamesa, he would read the Megillah in this place, Hutzel, on the 14th and the 15th, because Misafkali, he was in doubt, in Mekavos Chayme Mesi Yishu Benun, Eloi, was it surrounded with a wolf in the Zibishu Benun, which is the criterion for Mekavos Chayme, or not, because of that doubt, he read on both. That's one version. Ikud Amr, those say a different version that no, Amr Vasi says, Hai Hutzel, the base Binyamin. This Hutzel from the place of Binyamin, Mukafetz Chayim and Mimaisi Yeshua, it is surrounded with the wolf and the Zibeshua, and therefore it was obvious to him that one recites the Megillah on the 15th of Adar.